Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Thanks for tuning into Americana Music Profiles. The next episode starts right now.
You are tuned in to another edition of Americana Music Profiles, brought to you by Americana Rhythm Music Magazine and AmericanaMusicMagazine.com. I'm your host, Greg Tutwiler. Let's jump right in to the next exciting interview. Although Alexa Rose did not grow up in a musical family, she grew up in a part of the country rich with musical heritage. As a young girl growing up in the Allegheny Highlands of Western Virginia, she was surrounded by stories, including those of her great-grandfather, who had a musical relationship with the great Lester Flatts. As the songwriting bug took hold, Alexa eventually began pursuing music after college and found herself the 2019 winner of Merlefest's Chris Austin Songwriting Contest. Her current album is titled Headwaters. Alexa Rose is my guest on this edition of Americana Music Profiles. Hi, Alexa. Welcome to the podcast.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Thanks for joining us today. Alexa Rose, is that a middle name or is that your last name?
That's my last name.
Oh, cool. You got set up really well, didn't you? Didn't even have to come up with your own stage name.
I didn't pick it, but yeah, it's done me pretty good.
Yeah, no, that's great. I like it. Yeah, some people have these really... Tutwiler is not a really good stage name, you know? If I was going to be singing, I'd probably have to do something different.
I think it'd be cool just as a last name, just Tutwiler.
Yeah, well, it is.
It sounds kind of punk.
Punk? Okay, I like that. I'll take that. European?
European.
Southwest Virginia, right? No.
Allegheny Mountains? That's correct.
Yeah.
What part? Allegheny County, to be exact.
Okay.
So, you know, about an hour out of Roanoke to the west a little bit.
Okay.
Right there, basically on the line, the West Virginia line near Lewisburg.
Okay.
Between Lewisburg and Roanoke.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, we're just down the highway from me. I'm in Bridgewater. Just outside of Harrisonburg, so we're almost neighbors.
I wondered with the 540.
Right, right. Yeah, I saw that too. Yeah. I thought, well, we've got to be sort of close.
Yeah, you don't see that too often.
Right. No,
obviously, we set this up with North Carolina people, so I was like, oh, a familiar number.
Right, yeah, and we've been, let's see, what's today? Today's May 1st. Happy May Day. We've been working on this since before Merlefest. So if whoever's listening to it, we're talking the 1st of May, and I think we've been trying to get this lined up for about 3 weeks now. So I'm glad to finally talk to you.
Yes, me too. Very much. Very grateful.
And we started this pre-Merlefest. It's now post-Merlefest. How was that for you?
Oh, it was amazing. Merlefest is a really special festival to me because I went to Appalachian State. Every spring I would come to Merlefest with a group of buddies, and we would do the whole camping thing. And it's really kind of the first festival. I mean, it wasn't the first festival I went to, but it's like the first festival I kind of went to multiple times and had an understanding of what it was. And just grew so fond of it, discovered some of my favorite artists there, and got to hear and see some of my heroes. I got to see Ross Stanley there before he passed.
Yeah.
And, just a lot of special memories there. So it was very special to me to go back and be performing this
on the big stage.
Yeah, that's cool.
If people listening have been to Merlefest or they know Doc Watson or the story of Merle, and they get it, they understand. And for those of you that don't, I would highly recommend you put that on your calendar for the end of next April. You won't regret it. I think that'll be year 37. So it's one of the longer running festivals that's still in play. And it's not just bluegrass. It's not just folk. It's a mix of everything. And it's everything you said. It's just a place to get to see your heroes, and it's family friendly. I don't know. I can't talk it up enough, and that's not what we're here to talk about. But I'm glad you got to play, and you won the kind of one of the last Chris Austin songwriting contest. You were one of the last winners of that before they changed formats.
Yeah, I can't remember what year they stopped doing it, but I mean, I think they started it in the 90s.
They did.
And I think Gillian Welch was maybe the first winner or one of the first winners, but it's been going on for a really long time. And I won it in 2019.
Yeah.
So, you know, right before the world kind of turned upside down.
Right. Yeah.
that was a great honor to win that one, which I don't really... I've done a few of those like songwriting contests, but I tend to shy away from them just because songwriting is so subjective.
Right.
And, but you know, I had to do the Merlefest one because all my friends who I've go to Merlefest with for years were like, you have to enter this contest. So,
yeah.
But I was really glad that I did.
That's awesome. Yeah. Cool. So you grew up in the Clifton Forge area, or maybe directly in Clifton Forge.
Yeah, I grew up in Clifton Forge.
And you've got this really cool story about your, I believe, your grandfather, right? And kind of how that sparked the music in you.
I grew up in not a very musical family, and I was just always drawn to singing and writing songs. And then when I was 13, my uncle gave me a guitar that nobody in the family really wanted. And I just started messing around on it and figuring out a couple chords. And it was really a tool for me to start writing songs. I've never really considered myself a great guitarist, but it's just like a tool that I use to piece these songs together. But as soon as I kind of took an interest in that instrument, I started hearing these stories about my great-grandfather, Alvie Bell, who apparently was a musician and played guitar as well. And he used to play with Lester Flatt, and they actually lived together for a while.
Wow, that's cool.
Alvie and my great-grandmother, Agnes, and Lester and his wife. And then Lester went on to Nashville and became very successful. And he had asked Alvie to go with him, and my great grandfather chose to stay on the farm. And the punchline of the story is that my great grandmother told him he had to have a real job, you know, that playing music wasn't
right,
a real job.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
Probably, but every musician has heard that from somebody.
Yeah, for sure. But yeah, I've always felt like we were kindred spirits, you know, and our timelines in this world didn't quite line up, but there's a really special place in my heart for Alvie, and I think about him especially when I get to do stuff like Merlefest, which is so steeped in Appalachian bluegrass, old time music, because that's the kind of style of music that he would play. And I don't really come totally from that place, but I mean, I'm from Appalachia, so my music is Appalachian in that sense, and certainly informed by those styles.
You don't have the stereotypical Appalachian accent in your speech. That just, was your family, you didn't grow up with that? Or how did you manage to not bring that into your adult life?
I mean, I feel like I do have it, but it switches on, you know? Like,
okay.
If I'm like going through a drive-thru ordering a sweet tea, I hear it come out, I think.
Well, I think it's just ordering the sweet tea is probably what initiates the whole thing.
Right. But I don't know. I don't think I've ever had a very strong accent. And maybe the folks in my family didn't either. Mm-hmm. But then sometimes I feel like I do. And I'll point something out to you. So you live in, like, the Harris... Where did you say you live? Bridgewater?
The Shenandoah Valley. So along the 81 corridor. Uh-huh.
So if you and I go to California and we're just in a bar with some strangers we just met, they'll say, where are you from?
Right, true.
And they know we're country adjacent.
Right.
So, you know, to you and me, there's, I think, things that we just don't notice.
Yeah.
Inflections and draws. But if we go outside of this region, people do notice it, and people have pointed out to me.
Okay.
So
fair enough.
It's been a little reaffirming, because like, oh, okay, yeah, I do have that.
Right. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's cool. So if I heard you right, it sounds like the songwriting was more of an interest to you initially than the playing music side of it.
Yeah, just because it was more natural to me, and playing an instrument, the technical side of learning that craft was more of a challenge, and it wasn't as intuitive for me. And I just really was. It wasn't even that I was interested in coming up with songs necessarily. It was just kind of something I did.
Mm-hmm.
It just kind of happened, you know.
Did you take this to school with you?
No, not really. I did study classical voice for a semester in college, and I barely did. And I have a real appreciation for some of my, like, upbringing in that, with taking some voice lessons and kind of having a little bit of a foundation for how to take care of my voice and warm it up and stuff. But I was never really in that world. And as soon as I went off for school, I, like, very quickly realized I was interested in playing the guitar and writing folk songs and singing that type of music. And it just doesn't really... It didn't at that time line up with an academic path in that way.
Right.
So, yeah. So I ended up studying sustainable development.
And is that, did you move into that as a career choice?
I never did, but then also I think that any kind of creative pursuit as a career can be seen kind of as a radical choice.
Sure.
And kind of as a socially challenging choice and an environmental choice in some senses, and then in other senses, like, definitely not. Because you're just we're just burning gas to get down the road, and we're not always, you know, able to make sustainable choices.
Right.
But yeah.
So,
no, outside of it, I didn't really, I haven't really gone down that path, though. I may in the future.
Mm-hmm.
Life is hopefully long. We shall see.
Mm-hmm.
but yeah, so it's something I've definitely always been very passionate about, and really glad I chose that course.
So you, just looking over my notes, 2019, your first album came out, then you have a second one in 2021. So is there a third one out, or is Headwaters the one that's current for you?
Headwaters is the one that's current for me, and I'm going back into the studio in June to work on album 3.
Okay.
So very
awesome.
Excited
yeah.
to get that out
yeah.
into the world.
Yeah. So what does it look like for you currently to share your music with your fans? Do you, obviously Merlefest, was that the beginning or the end of a tour, or where are you in that aspect of touring and sharing your music in that part of your career?
Well, I'm very lucky at this point in my career to work with a great booking agent over at High Road Touring.
Mm-hmm.
And I think just, you know, working with a booking agency, and in particular, my agent is the founder of that agency, and he's a fantastic advocate for artists, and he always, you know, is looking out for us and asking, you know, what does this look like for you to go out on this tour, go out on the road? Like, is this actually going to be sustainable for you? Mm-hmm. Or are you going to lose money on this? Mm-hmm. And, you know, and are these venues going to take care of you in a reasonable sense? Like, you know, are you going to get paid enough? Are you going to maybe be able to buy a meal? You know,
right? Just, sure. Yeah.
Just like the simple day-to-day things that, right. We maybe someone who like doesn't go on the road and just sees the glamorous Instagram side of it wouldn't think about all the little things in a day that
right.
you do to take care of yourself that are a lot easier.
Right.
If you are in one place and have a stable routine.
Right.
And so for me that looks like, you know, touring can be volatile a little bit with the scheduling, and when I have opportunities that really make sense for me to go out on the road, I take them, and I would love it if that was all the time. Mm-hmm. but also I wouldn't. It's easy to say that when you're not, but really, like, there's a balance to it of not burning yourself out, and
right.
So, yeah, I'm very fortunate to have a good advocate in my booking agent. And I have right now kind of a sprinkling of shows throughout the rest of the year. And there will probably be a few more tours that pop up. Hopefully, my fingers are really crossed that I can hit the West Coast again.
Yeah.
And I've been able to hit the Northeast a good bit in the last 2 years. And then the Midwest is also a region that I feel like I just don't get out to enough. And I love playing in the Midwest. And so,
yeah,
we'll see. Yeah. I'm sending that energy out into podcast land.
There you go. Well, I was obviously got a chance to see your main set on the main stage, at Merlefest a couple of weeks ago. And, I just love the, singer-songwriter feel, but that's not really exactly right. It's a being from this area, as we were talking earlier, it feels very true to roots from where I know this part of the region, how music where it comes from and how it's created, and so you really have done a great job at capturing that. Do you? And I saw you, I think, with two or three other musicians. Is that kind of your norm? Do you get to travel with the other two or three musicians, or is this oftentimes a solo event for you?
Well, first, thank you for saying that. That means a lot to me. And it is something that I feel like is perfectly captured when there are, you know, maybe two other musicians on stage with you.
Mm-hmm. it feels that way.
Yeah. It just depends. I do actually a lot of solo touring, particularly if it's like a long tour and I'm maybe supporting another band. So I actually end up going out a lot by myself, just me and my guitar.
Mm, okay.
And that's definitely a very different feel from,
I'm sure,
you know, having your two friends with you,
your kind emotional of support on either side,
supporting you, creating a wall of
yeah,
sound,
right?
Yeah,
right,
yeah,
right, yeah.
And I like doing that too. They both have their benefits.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sure it was very, it blended very well together when you guys did the show that I saw.
Thank you.
It feels like it needs those. Feels like it needs the three parts to go with it, you know, but that's just
yeah.
from an audience perspective.
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, definitely going out, I will say, you know, all the songs start like just with an acoustic mm-hmm. guitar usually for me, or sometimes I'll write on the piano, or sometimes I just won't write with any instrument. So the solo shows are much more, you know, kind of from that storytelling point of view,
mm-hmm,
and mm-hmm. I find it's more intimate, like one-on-one I'm going to sit with the audience and share the stories behind the songs. So they're really kind of looking at, hopefully, I don't know, they're free to do whatever they want in their own mind, but they have some context for, like, what is the framework of this song?
Yeah.
You know, as a house, like, we're looking at the bones of this song more so than the finished product of the song with the instrumentation.
Yeah. Yeah. That's cool. So where do you, how far out do you look? What's the big picture? Where do you see yourself with your music in 3 to 5, 5 to 7 years? Do you have some visions of what you'd like to be doing with it?
You know, wherever it wants to go, I feel like I've just been on a ride with it the whole time. Mm-hmm. I mean, so much of being in this business is like, it's a lot of luck and serendipity, mm-hmm. and goodwill from strangers and people you meet.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been like incredibly fortunate to get to tour as much as I have, gotten to release music with labels that supported me and be like in the place I am now.
Yeah.
And I would just, you know, if I have any goals, I mean, I would love to just continue what I'm doing and hopefully reach a place where it is a little more sustainable and just for me, you know, and
sure.
be able to maybe bring people out with me to play the shows a little more often. And then I would also really love to reach a place where I can kind of like offer some of the support back that I've been given, because I've been given mm-hmm. a lot of support just from like people in the industry, other artists who have like taken me on tour with them.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've been able to fill up my calendar with amazing venues. I mean, I've been able to play like sold out shows at the Fillmore and the Troubadour because you know, I've opened for bands. And that's such an incredible experience to have.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't have it without, you know, those folks who are kind of bringing me along and giving me this opportunity. And so, I mean, outside of like being able to bring people on tour with you, also just offering people emotional support who do this
and maybe
some advice. I think I'm kind of at a place now where sometimes people reach out to me and they're like, hey, can I like hop on the phone with you? Or maybe sometime we could get coffee. So I just have some questions about how to do this,
uh-huh.
you know, and I'm always like, it's okay. No one knows. No one knows what they're doing with this. I mean, I just, you know, had people who were open to that when I was younger and people who've helped me. And I really would love to just kind of be able to return some of that.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's cool. Well, Alexa, this has been fun. I really wish you well with it. I love your music. And I think there's something unique, and I really hope that the universe agrees and joins you and you get to take it as far as it will go.
Well, thank you so much. It's been a joy talking to you this morning.
Thanks again for tuning in to this episode of Americana Music Profiles. Find us on iTunes at Americana Music Profiles and on the internet at AmericanaRhythm.com.